Sunday school time, huh? Look at these flowers up here at the altar, isn't that beautiful? Thank you all for those who donated for the flowers, they're just absolutely beautiful. I went for a walk this morning with our dog and I heard the birds singing and I saw all the flowers in the desert opening, and for some people that's an opportunity to sneeze. But for me it's an opportunity to say hallelujah. Because one of the things that Jesus said, and we watched the Passion of the Christ on Friday night, watched it again. One of the things that Jesus said when his mother finally caught up with him at the edge of town as he was trudging that trail, bearing his cross, the wounded body, Jesus looked at her and said, "Mother, I'm making all things new." Did you know that he's still doing that today? He's making all things new for us and in us. Thanks be to God for that. Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. That's why we worship on Sunday. Did you know that? The Sabbath day is Saturday. In fact, the word Saturday comes from the word Sabbath. But we worship on the first day of the week, which is the day that the women went to the tomb and found that Jesus had risen from the dead. That's why we worship on Sundays. It was early in the morning before the sun had come up. It said it was still kind of nightfall. You ever get up in the morning really, really early and the sun's not up yet and it's kind of getting light, but it's not quite light yet. You can see things, and you know that in a half hour it's going to be a lot brighter. That's the time it was when Mary and Joanna and some of the other women went to the tomb. They brought spices for embalming. They didn't expect to see Jesus alive. They didn't expect to find the tomb empty. They brought more embalming spices. They expected to find a tomb with a body in it. Do you expect to see Jesus?
Yes.
And if you do, is he alive?
Yes.
Is he alive in you?
Yes.
The angels were still there in that tomb. The angels who ministered to Jesus during his resurrection were still there. Mary, the women showed up just right after that, right? They see the angels in the tomb. And how did they know they were angels? How did they know that the angels were angels? It said that they had a countenance like lightning, and their garments were as white as the snow, and it wasn't from Clorox. They said their garments were heavenly garments. Heavenly garments are as white as snow. And it said that's how these women knew that it was angels. If you think about it, if they had gone to the tomb and the tomb was empty and there was just a couple of guys standing there, or maybe a couple of soldiers, they might have thought, oh yeah, they came and took the body. Where'd you put him? But the fact that it was angels standing there at the tomb, that meant something. It's like, this is a proclamation from God. And heaven cannot contain it. The angels had to come and tell him, the Lord is risen. He's not here. Go see where he was laying. Go in there now and look. He's not there. He's risen from the dead. And by the way, did you hear in the reading that the angel rolled back the stone? It was a great earthquake and the angel rolled back the stone. Did he roll back the stone to let Jesus out? No. He rolled back the stone to let the women in, just so that they could see. Because you understand that stones and caves do not hold back the risen Lord. He can go right through them anytime he wants. So the angels rolled back the stone so that the women could go in and see where he had been. And it said, the garment that he was wrapped in and the kerchief that covered his face were there in the tomb, but Jesus' body wasn't there. And it said, and the kerchief was folded neatly and laid where it was on the ledge where his body had lain. We must pray, my brothers and sisters, that the angel would descend now and roll away the hardness of our hearts and open up our closed senses and declare to our minds that Christ is risen. For just as the heart in which Christ lives and reigns is heaven, so also is the heart in which Jesus remains dead a grave. May it be believed that just as he died, so was he transformed. Christ the man, suffered and died and was buried. Christ, the Son of God, lives and reigns forever and shall be forever. Amen. Why did the angel have to appear to the women? Why didn't Jesus simply come out of the tomb and say, oh, by the way, I'm risen from the dead, here I am. The angels appeared first. Because here's what happened. What did the angels say to the women? The angels mentioned the name of Jesus. Who do you come looking for? Are you looking for Jesus? And then the angel alludes to his cross. He speaks about his passion. He refers to his death. And then he proclaims his resurrection and confesses his lordship. The angel did all of that in just a couple of sentences to these women. It was a miniature doxology right there. Who are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus? He's not here. He's risen from the dead. What else is there to say? The angel said it all to the women. When Jesus finally did greet the women, you know what he said? He said, all hail. All hail. That's the words in Hebrew that he used. All hail. That means rejoice. That means hello, how are you? It's a very formal greeting. It's an honor greeting. Instead of just saying, hey, I'm over here. He said, all hail. In this morning's reading in that translation, it says rejoice. And so he greeted the women with honor and familiarity like a fellow citizen. Not like royalty. He could have. He was. He is. And by the way, he still had the scars in his hands. He still had the hole in his side and the scars in his feet from the nails. He kept them on purpose. In his glorified body, he could have gotten rid of the scars, if you think about it. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. He has a new body. Why not just cover the scars up? New hands, new feet, new side. Don't need to have those holes in there, but he kept them. He kept them for later on, didn't he? He kept them so that we could see and understand, so that the disciples could understand and believe that it's him. This is the man who we saw crucified. This is the one who we saw nailed to the cross. This is the one who we saw when the soldier went up and stabbed him in the side with his spear and blood and water came out. Did you know that? When Jesus died on the cross, after he had died, the soldiers were ordered to break the legs of the three criminals who were hanging on the cross. And they went and broke the legs of the two criminals who were hung on either side of Jesus. But when they got to Jesus, the soldier said, I don't need to break his legs, he's already dead. And the other soldier said, well, you may need to make sure. So he stabbed him with a spear in the side, and it says, and out of his side flowed blood and water. And that is why, when we serve the communion wine, we pour a little water in the side of the cross, in the sign of the cross. We mix water with the wine. That's one of the reasons we do that, is because both water and blood flowed from the side of Jesus when he was, after he had died. It says that when he greeted the women, they fell at his feet and they grabbed hold of his feet. Some of you may desire to be like these faithful women. You too may wish to take hold of the feet of Jesus, and you can, you know, anytime you want. You can take hold of Jesus' feet. You can embrace not only his feet, but his hands, his head. You too today can receive these awesome mysteries with a pure conscience. You can embrace him. You can embrace Jesus, not only in this life, but also even more fully on that day when you shall see him coming with unspeakable glory with a multitude of the angels. If you are so disposed, along with him, to be a person of love and compassion, you shall not only hear the words, all hail, but also those words reserved for you when Jesus says to you, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Jesus appeared to many people after he rose from the dead. Not only to these women at the tomb, but he appeared to his disciples on several different occasions. He appeared to more than 500 people at one time. And one of the things that is repeated over and over is that people didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. He revealed himself to them. He must have looked different. He did not allow everyone who saw him after his resurrection to immediately recognize him. There was a necessary mystery attached to his rising from the grave, and he only revealed himself by his words and by the breaking of bread. And this is still true today. He reveals himself through his word and through the breaking of bread. It's only by revelation that we recognize the risen Christ. Did you know that? You can know that Jesus lived, and you can know that he was a great teacher and a great prophet, and you can acknowledge all of that thing, but unless he reveals himself to you, unless you encounter him and receive him as your Lord and Savior, you won't know who he is. He's just another guy. A good guy, but just another guy. When Jesus is the risen Lord, and he's Lord and Savior of your life, he reveals himself to you, and you get to know him. And that's what happened. After he rose from the dead, he revealed himself to people. He said, "It's me. It's the Lord." And it was at that moment that the people said, "Oh my gosh, it is, it's him." How come they didn't recognize him before that? Do you recognize the risen Christ? And then what did the women do afterwards? Jesus said, "Go tell the disciples. Go tell them. I'm alive. The tomb is empty." But the disciples didn't believe him. Perhaps there was some consternation on the part of the disciples that Jesus revealed himself to the women first. "Wait a minute. We've been hanging with this guy for 3.5 years. How come you revealed yourself to them, Jesus? How come you didn't come to us first?" Aha. Jesus honored his mother and all women who bring forth new life by doing that. He honored women by appearing to women first. He also undid the curse that Eve and Adam brought into the world. He undid that curse. Eve, who succumbed to the wiles of the devil and gave him power and authority over all the earth, was now vindicated by Jesus, who trampled over the enemy, crushed his head, and threw him into the lake of fire. He defeated the authority of the enemy in your life. Did you know that the enemy is defeated in your life? Is he defeated by arrogance? No. He's defeated by humility. Because it wasn't an arrogant Jesus that went to the cross. It was a Jesus who laid down his life for us. And that's what defeated the enemy. You want to defeat the enemy in your life? Humbly go to Jesus and say, "I can't, but you can through me and in me." In Easter, we never arrogantly say that we have received the authority of Christ. People who don't confess the risen Christ as their authority and rely on him to rescue and deliver them from the power of the enemy have opened themselves up to the enemy's influence. If you find the risen Christ today in his word and in the breaking of bread and in fellowship, you find him in the church. You find him wherein we sit in this building. We encounter Christ because he is alive and he is here with us by his Holy Spirit. Amen. He is alive and he is here with us by his Holy Spirit. Amen. We are here today to offer one another the hand of fellowship, to hear the word of the Lord, both written, proclaimed, spoken, and sung, and to partake of him through the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. He comes to you today as your friend and says, "All hail." What is your answer to him? Jesus comes to us today and he said, "I died so that you might live and live forever." Amen.